B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
There that I want to explore a little bit more, and that is the idea of playing without Joel Embiid. Now, they need to pass the basketball more without Joel Embiid because they don't have that score, basically. We know that.
Right.
But when it comes to that spacing, Al Horford, I think this is actually going to hurt the team in the long run. Because Al Horford, I really don't see going anywhere. I know people have mentioned him in trade rumors and whatever, going out to like Portland, whatever it might be. I still don't see him going anywhere. And this is something they're going to have to figure it out. I was hoping that the time they would get together to start out the season, the first 38 games, whatever it might be, that him and Joel Embiid would really learn each other's spacing on the court and let that mature throughout the season. How much does this time away really hurt that chemistry? Because I'm seeing chemistry develop between Furkan Korkmaz and Ben Simmons. I'm seeing Al Horford try to work his way into the court where he's a little bit more comfortable doing the things that he's used to doing on the court. Without Joel Embiid, they're getting used to something that's not going to be there come playoff time.
Yeah, my hope was that Al Horford would find his offensive game a little bit better with Joel Embiid not there. Meaning, all right, he's hitting mid-range jump shots. He's maybe taking the ball to the basket a little bit more. Stuff that, like, maybe Brett Brown learns about him and says, oh, okay, he does these things very well. When Joel's in the game, here's how I can get him to that point a little bit more often. But Horford's still struggling. So, it's tough. I don't think it's that hard of a figure to get those two to play together, though. I mean, I just envision a high-low game with the two of them, an inside-out game with the two of them, whether it's, you know, Horford inside or Embiid inside. I think you could, you know, let them go either way. I don't know why it's been so hard to figure out for Brett and the whole coaching staff.
6 o'clock hour brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC. For all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area, visit unitedrentals.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Coming up in a minute. We're going to let you hear an update in our Twitter poll. And it's basically asking people's reaction to Andy Reid making it to his second Super Bowl. This time, obviously, with the Kansas City Chiefs. And just see how people in Philadelphia feel. Because we're looking at, what, 6 years without Andy Reid? 7 years since he's been here? Like, it's been a long time.
It's three of Chip Kelly and this Doug's fourth year. Yeah. He's finished up.
So. 7 years without Andy Reid as your head coach.
It doesn't feel like longer.
It feels like 20 years. It really, I'm not even kidding. I was thinking about it while I was watching everything unfold yesterday, and it was like, wow, we're a Chip Kelly era away and a Doug Peterson now era away from Andy Reid being the head coach of the Eagles.
Remember that Thursday night game? Andy came back Thursday night game and played against Chip. That seems like ages ago.
Mm-hmm. So Chip Kelly, he's really leaving his mark on the NFL.
Isn't it great?
The Eagles win the Super Bowl 2 years after he leaves, and now the San Francisco 49ers make the Super Bowl 3 years after Chip Kelly leaves.
With a running back that he cut, because I believe they made a late roster addition of Kenyon Barner.
Yep.
Who ended up winning the Super Bowl with the Eagles.
Yeah.
But Kenyon Barner from the Carolina Panthers.
Because you had Ryan Matthews, DeMarco Murray, Darren Sproles locked down.
Oh, that wasn't DeMarco Murray.
And then
it was
the fourth spot was between Barner and Raheem Mostert. And he had, I believe, because I went back and NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com put up the old Ruben Frank story from the roster cuts at the time. And Raheem Mostert had 390 all-purpose yards from the line of scrimmage that preseason, which at the time was the most in Eagles in the last 20 years of Eagles football.
So for preseason.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a very like tough decision, but they said Kenyon Barner also played well, so they decided it would be easier to keep Barner and put Mostert through waivers and try and get him back. But the Dolphins scooped him right up.
Yeah, so it's fun to be a team that Chip Kelly used to coach in the NFL. That's what it is.
It's bizarre because the guy, in some ways, has an eye for talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like Malcolm Jenkins over Jarius Byrd. Lane Johnson was the best pick of that top 10 guy. Like, in a lot of ways, he has an eye for talent, but in a lot of ways, he's his own worst enemy and just completely ruins everything.
That is a negative. That can be seen. That can be seen as a negative. So it's good to be an NFL team that Chip Kelly used to coach. One, because the Eagles won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you hire him? Yeah. Get him out of there, and then you'll go on to success.
If you need to burn it down, hire Chip Kelly, and he'll come at you sooner or later than later.
But my big takeaway from yesterday was look how quickly things can change in the NFL.
Yeah.
49ers had, what, four wins last year?
Yep. Yeah.
Four.
Yeah. It happens.
Quick.
Yeah. It, for a league that is so cap-strapped,
yeah.
Like you have to pay so close attention to that, it is amazing how one move can all of a sudden turn things around for you.
It's unbelievable.
Whether that be a head coach, whether that be a GM. Like John Lynch, all the credit in the world to that guy.
He's got to win Executive of the Year, right?
And there's another thing that actually does that did rear its ugly head in my brain over the weekend, even though the Patriots weren't playing.
Did you see it's the first time since 2000? Sorry to interrupt.
What?
First time since 2002 that a AFC champion is not Brady, Roethlisberger, Flacco, or Peyton.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
That's wild.
That is pretty wild. But Flacco, name of the greats, right there.
Flacco.
Flacco. But now you answered my brain, damn it.
2002. Think about how long that is. That's crazy.
But this is what reared its ugly head. The Belichick and Brady argument, you know, who's more successful without the other, you know, can they survive?
Yeah. Right.
Like, you talk about executives, he's not really an executive, but Belichick could be the greatest ever.
Yeah.
And he actually probably is.
Yeah.
Because one thing Garoppolo is doing is making it known that, yeah, the Patriots would be fine after Brady. If he's never traded, they would have another franchise quarterback right there waiting to take over. I honestly don't think... I think it would be a lot like, oh, Brett Favre's gone, here's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I would choose Belichick if I had to choose between the two.
Yeah, because he's the guy doing everything else.
Yeah.
Like, nowadays, and I've said this before, it's not easy to play quarterback in the NFL, but it's never been easier to do that.
Yeah.
You got a guy that's got some talent, and you can, you know, mold him a little bit. Yeah, you got a guy that's going to have success for it.
The hot rumor on Twitter over the weekend is Philip Rivers has moved from L.A. to Florida.
Yeah.
To be with this basically family. Saying people are, you know, reading between the lines that he's punting on being a Charger again. And the rumor is maybe Brady to the Chargers goes out to L.A. with Giselle.
Oh, that's not... Oh, that's beautiful.
That would be weird.
Why, is he driving?
Doesn't Giselle live in the mansion with him in New
England? Yeah, but they're California people at heart.
They got turned down that... remember, they got turned down from that awesome country club up there in New England.
Oh, that's right.
They got turned away.
Yes.
They didn't want the media circus of those two.
Yeah.
The most New England thing
Bill
ever.
Belichick, the Executive of the Year Award should just be renamed the Belichick.
Who's not even an executive.
Yeah.
The Patriots are GM-less. They're one of like seven teams in the NFL that have no GM.
That's wild.
You're going to give Belichick a boss?
Yeah, exactly. Who do you think's in charge? That's the name of the title.
Hey, Bill, this is the guy you're going to answer to.
Yeah, that's the title right there. Who do you think's running things here? But anyway, so that poked my head. That entered my head, but... People's reaction is what I want to get back to on Andy Reid making it back to a Super Bowl. I honestly can't go above the feeling of, oh, good for Andy. Like, let's just say 2 weeks from now, we're talking about pictures of him and watching him hoist a Lombardi trophy, right?
Yeah.
I have no feeling of like, yeah, like there's no spiking the proverbial football in celebration for Andy Reid. I will not go above... Oh, okay, good for Andy.
Like, I'll watch it with a smile on my face. Not that I'm, Andy Reid,
right.
But I'll watch it with a smile on my face. So good for you.
Yeah,
he's been through a lot. Good for you.
I honestly think...
And thank you. Thank you for rebuilding this Eagles organization.
I'll give him that.
But will you think that in the moment? We laid it out for people before. We laid out the fact that there were blackout games before Andy Reid got here.
Yeah, now, he changed everything.
But a lot of that is also where the state of the NFL was then versus now. Like, not just here in Philadelphia, but like across the board.
Yeah.
The NFL was not the huge, I mean, it was still a powerhouse, but it wasn't the huge powerhouse that it is today.
Well, are they still getting blackouts in like Cleveland? Or the Jets. I mean, some of the, you know, maybe some of those places are still getting them, even though the NFL has changed for the better, as you said.
Right.
You know, so, I don't know, Andy Reid.
No, it all turned around. It all turned around when he got here. We talked about blackout games that occurred before he was here in Philadelphia. We obviously know the success that followed. We know that he's the winningest coach. Like, of all the stuff that you want to complain and bitch about with Andy Reid. Like, he got himself and he got this franchise to a very high pedestal that they had never really been to up until, like, what, or prior to, what, Chuck Bednarik? Tommy McDonald. Like, they won an NFL championship in 1960. Then there was nothing. And then Andy Reid had a sustained decade and a half of success where you always knew the Eagles were going to be in it. And he did that, by the way, he did that through stretches of losing his starting quarterback, having his backup, and then his third string go in there, as we know, in 02. And then he also had a playoff victory with Jeff Garcia came in. I mean, he did it with different quarterbacks. He even rebuilt with Michael Vick at the same time. Like, there were things that happened that was extremely frustrating while he was here. But the bottom line is, he's got more than double the amount of wins as the next winningest coach in Eagles history. He's got more than double the amount of playoff wins than the next winningest playoff victory coach in Eagles history, and Doug Peterson. Like, that's who's number two on the list right now, Doug Peterson. Like, Andy Reid has 10 playoff wins as the Eagles head coach, but yet
Buddy Ryan's more revered in this town.
Who had zero?
Yeah.
So when you look
at one of the greatest defenses of all time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you look back on Andy Reid's numbers, they jump out to you. But when you lived through it, you also do you think about the argument against Andy Reid that was so frustrating, which was the obvious thing. Well, why isn't he running the football enough? He has Brian Westbrook. He had Deuce Daly. Why isn't he running more?
He forgot about Deuce for like 2 years.
Then you also have 5 years of waiting to get a number one wide receiver. Could never manage the clock.
Is that on him, the what? Wide receiver thing, or is that on the GM?
Yeah, because he was the guy that was cooking the groceries.
He was making all the calls.
Buying the groceries when he was cooking dinner and all that fun stuff. Yeah, but who was it? Modrak. He later gave the GM Banner. Title up. Well, Banner was really the money guy, obviously,
right.
Who a lot of people look at as the guy that really had final say. And really, people will also look at as to why that group eventually broke up was because Banner wanted power. Andy Reid wanted power, and there was that struggle. And then eventually, Banner was out. Andy was in, making the final decision. And then eventually, Banner was out. Howie was in. So there's a whole power struggle that went on there. But I do look more to Andy Reid than I do anything else when it comes to getting that number one target. Only was 1-4 in championship games. He always coddled his players in the press conference, and in the same breath, would really not tell fans anything. And people, I learned this through Andy Reid, do pay attention to the press conference. And they listen to that, and they want answers. And when the coach doesn't answer or tries to coddle a player and does not allow the viewer or the fan, in this case, to let them know what really happened in the game, people look at you like, dude, why are you lying to me? Like, I tell me the truth here. You don't have to say somebody was terrible and you're going to cut them, but just say what happened on a particular play.
Yeah.
Even in the day, I got to go look at the film. Then you look at the film, next day, Monday press conference. Yeah, I don't know what to do. That was on me. I gotta do a better job. Great. Like, that was not helpful at all. So I want to gauge people's, basically their reaction to Andy Reid making it into his second Super Bowl here. We'll go through that in a second. Sam's standing by. She's got the Twitter poll. We'll give it to you coming back here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Sam Wilson, please hit us with our Twitter poll. How are the people feeling about the former head coach of Philadelphia Eagles, Andy Reid?
Today we asked, which best describes your emotions with Andy Reid making it back to the Super Bowl? We have four options. Yeah, this is great. Meh, good for Andy. Don't care, or angry. So far, leading now at 43%. Yeah, this is great.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, and then close behind at 41 is Matt. Good for Andy.
I'm never angry at people to be happy. Like, the pursuit of happiness. I'm not going to rain on your parade.
You hate happiness. Will Smith was great in that movie.
It was a phenomenal picture. I cried when they had to sleep in the bathroom. Yeah. Anyway, so... Then he invented Amazon or something. I don't remember. Yeah, I fell asleep before the movie.
He became really rich. I don't know.
But he made Men in Black 7. but anyway, a lot of people are happy about it. Good for them. I'm never one to say, hey, don't you be happy. Although I think it's weird. I'll just say that. I will judge you for being happy. I just won't tell you not. I'm not going to tell you not to be happy. But I think most people are, by the end of the show, going to fall in line with the common way of thinking is, meh, good for him. Like, I have no emotional attachment to Andy Reid.
Yeah, I'm more in the, yeah, good for Andy.
He helped turn a franchise around.
I'm not exuberant, but I'm like, all right. I mean, it's them or San Fran, so go Big Red.
I might even be rooting for San Fran. I don't know yet. I honestly don't know.
Former Eagle Raheem Mozart. I mean, what's not to like?
All right, here's the thing with the former Eagle, Jibba Jabba.
What's his last name now?
Mozart.
Mostert.
It's almost like mustard. Mostert. Two T's. Come on, man. Just pick one.
I credit.
Pick one.
My name's got two T's, you jerk.
Yeah, but they're together, so it's easy.
They're hanging out. They're
spaced.
You can cross the T's with just the one line.
Yeah.
But you look at it like this. I like Terry Bradshaw, by the way, who admitted on stage, I'm sorry for calling you Mozart, but... And then he tried to spin it to, well, you are a heck of a...
Composer. Running.
Yeah. He's like, you're a heck of a composer on the field. I was like, all right, there. But anyway, I think most people are going to fall in line with it. Meh. Good for him.
I'm more amazed that only 1% is angry.
Why would you be angry for a guy?
Because you hate him.
Because he was here about 3 years too long.
Well, you know what? You know, I'm not going to answer that question, Bob. Because someone else can. Mike and KOP. What's up, Mike?
Hold on, Mike, real quick. This is the second time you've sided with Mike and KOP in less than a week, Mark.
No, I'm not angry.
Mark, I'm losing you. Yes, it is.
Mike, first off, embrace
the dark side.
No, I'm not going to embrace no, because I'm not.
You have a follower, Mike.
I do not believe in the dark side, my friend. I know that you're. The first time we ever talked, you were all pissed off about Andy Reid.
The dark side has cookies. It's great. Don't worry about it. It's great.
Oh, you guys have cookies?
Yeah.
All right, I can be swayed.
I think I'm more angry because I had an idiot on my Facebook timeline take some picture of Andy Reid and said, "Hey, Andy Reid, no one's more deserving than you. Eagles Nation and Chiefs Nation are totally behind you." Don't speak for me. I'm not behind this idiot. And I actually said that to him, and I unfriended him after it. And I was like... Like, don't speak for me. I'm tired. If you go on Twitter, like, every idiot that ever covered Andy is like, this is great, the best thing ever. You got Tori, she's talking about it, like, and rooting for Andy. Like, all these people in this area are rooting for Andy, like, out of their mind, and I don't get it. Like, and just, like, that's angering me more than this idiot winning, getting to the Super Bowl, and I have to hear about him. Every time he makes a playoff appearance, I have to hear about this guy, and how everybody in Philadelphia should be rooting for him. Like, it's frustrating. We got rid of him because he couldn't get it done. He was here too long. He made bonehead decisions late in his career. He never wanted to get a top-flight receiver. I hope he screws this up like he screwed up 2004, and may God have mercy on his soul. Thank you very much.
I believe the first time I ever talked to Mike in KOP, it was an Andy Reid call. And yeah, I never heard someone speak with as much venom about Andy Reid as I did Mike in KOP. And that was a perfect time for his call just then. I don't agree with him. I don't hate Andy Reid. Why do you have to go that way?
Was it frustrating that he didn't win you a Super Bowl? Yeah, but only because he brought you so much success.
He got you
so
close.
That you anticipated. But he was there every year for you. Every year you were a Super Bowl contender that he was here pretty much. Mm-hmm. Why does that bring venom? Yeah. First year was what it was.
Well, yeah, but then you can't hold that.
11, 11, 12, 12, 13, 6, 10, 8, 9, 11, 10, and then the last 2 years have been. I mean, my God, you're talking about 11, 12 wins every single year. Mm. And nobody was frustrated as me as a fan that they didn't win the Super Bowl. But my God, you got to appreciate what the guy did.
And the last 5 minutes of the Super Bowl, do you put more on Andy or do you put more on
Donovan? Oh my God,
Donovan?
I was standing there saying, what the hell are you doing? Absolutely.
More on Andy, but at the same time, Donovan's got to be like, yo, dude, let's go. Let's go. What's the play?
See,
I feel like they both were like a product of one another.
I don't know how many years. It was probably 6 years later, 7 years later. Donovan's traded. Right? He's gone.
On Easter Sunday.
And I think it was that year in D.C. that he was benched in Detroit against the Lions in the two-minute drill for Rex Grossman. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I remember at that exact moment.
Going, oh, it was Donovan.
It's just weird. Look, it was years after the Super Bowl, whatever it was. But Donovan was never the guy. They always talked about how he didn't want to wear the wristband. He didn't want to wear the like the play chart on his wrist.
Weird.
And that he wasn't good in the two-minute drills.
Yeah.
And it certainly was not a two-minute drill, but it was the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I think they both get blamed for that.
A little bit. But I'm saying, that's the question, though.
Yeah.
Who gets more? Do you go Andy or do you go Donovan?
I go coach on that
You
one,
would
yeah.
go coach.
I would go coach on that
See,
one.
See, I think you got to be a pretty dumb coach to realize not to go. Like, not to be in, you know, all systems go mode.
Oh, yeah. And, I agree with the frustration that people had. Clock management, all that. But, mm-hmm. God, look at the bigger picture. There's no way you should have any hate for Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm. I hear you on that. I don't hate him. Mike Del Rio, what's up, buddy?
Anybody who hates Andy Reid and is not rooting for him in the Super Bowl is a bigger ingrate than Boys to Men. You make me sick to my stomach. Listen, me and Mike from KOP have had difference of agreements, but we get along somewhat. But you know what, dude? You need to find God or something. You need to find a happy spot in your life, dude, because you're miserable about everything. Do you guys hate Dick Vermeil? Buddy Ryan? They didn't win us any either. I mean, Jesus. You know, the best memories of my sports life were Andy Reid as our coach until we won the Super Bowl. If Reid sit here and be angry about it, listen, the last 5 minutes of that Super Bowl was Donovan McNabb's fault. All right, that was Donovan
McNabb's fault. I put it on Donovan as well, yeah.
Not being able to get along with T.O., right? I mean, Andy Reid should have a ring, but he doesn't because of those two idiots. I'm telling you right now, I'm hoping he pulls it together. I'm hoping he wins that Super Bowl. I'm not rooting for the Chiefs. I'm rooting for Andy Reid. He deserves it. Like I said before, if we didn't win our Super Bowl, would I be this high on my horse about it? Maybe not. But the guy deserves a Super Bowl, and he's going to go in the Hall of Fame, and they're going to win it in 2 weeks. Go, Bert!
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for holding as well. I got to tell you, early goings for this, I'm not rooting for Andy Reid in the Super Bowl. Like, my friend, like, other than, good for him.
What about Patrick Mahomes? Would you root for him?
Good for him.
Yeah,
Shady McCoy?
I have zero.
Shady?
I don't root for him. Like, if non-Eagles, I don't root.
Yeah.
I just hope it's a good game. I really do. I hope it's a good game, and whoever's losing come the fourth quarter, I hope they come back. And then if they go ahead, I hope the other team comes. You know, I just want a good game. Like, I don't root.
Like, if there's any allegiancy, don't you want the team from the NFC to win? More so than the AFC?
Nah, that never came into play.
Yeah, I never really thought much about that.
That's how I go.
I mean, if the Eagles didn't have a Super Bowl, I think it would be drastically different.
In terms of, like...
It would be, like, anger would be, like, a 25-30% vote.
So, in other words, people, if the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl, would be like, I hate it!
Yeah.
Everyone still.
Totally. The Super Bowl put a lot of us at ease.
So, for a lot of us, the Super Bowl... Like,
because if Andy won before we did... With another team, people would be outraged.
Oh, we're terrible.
We are. We're petty people.
We're awful human beings. If that was the case, we would be awful human beings. Because then that puts Andy Reid in the same, like, fan base hatred mode as Bill Buckner. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
They win the World Series in 2004. Red Sox. The first banner you see is, Bill Buckner, we forgive you.
People forget Bill Buckner was a really good player.
But they ate the question.
Yeah, Andy Reid's a really good coach. But if we didn't have that Super Bowl 52 trophy right. in our pocket, people would hate him.
Wow, if Nick Foles didn't go up to Doug Peterson and call his own number, we'd still hate Andy Reid.
Thank everything holy that they won the Super Bowl two years ago.
By the way, I am... You know, Mike mentioned Boys to Men, and I'll go back to this real quick, because I feel that for this Super Bowl, I am more so... Rob Lowe than I am anything else, which is I'm just rooting for a good game.
Boys to Men was one of my first ever tape cassette purchases, and then they go and do that yesterday.
Wow, you remember that?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I remember my first CD.
I remember my first one that I was like, Mom, Dad, can I buy like this tape? And it was Boys to Men.
Oh no,
yeah.
My brother would just make me mixtapes of like things that he liked.
Remember recording off the radio?
Oh yeah, it was great. It was Napster before Napster. Yeah. If people are gonna remember Napster, anyway.
But yeah, they did me like that. I bought your tapes, man.
So, but Rob Lowe yesterday. Do you know that the hat was the least awkward thing about his day at the end at the game yesterday?
He tweeted.
Yeah, I saw his tweet.
Said, I didn't think my hat would be the most interesting part of the game. That's pretty good.
It is pretty good, but it was not the most awkward part. And Jamie, I just put this in our system here. Rob Lowe, I don't know if this was the San Francisco 49ers social media that put this out, but I got it off the site on Instagram, the Checkdown. I think this is more awkward than Rob Lowe's hat at the NFC Championship game yesterday. Here's Rob Lowe pregame.
Hey, it's Rob Lowe here in the end zone. It's very loud here at Levi's.
Yeah, that's it. That's all he did.
Okay.
That's all he did at the game yesterday.
It was a sound check.
So weird.
I guess the NFL teams had guys go around, or maybe even the check down had guys go around, because they also got Jason Kelce, who we played for you earlier in the show, who was just rooting for his brother Travis, who was now going to the Super Bowl with Andy Reid. And that's that. But Rob Lowe became a headline yesterday based on an awkward shot of him, who was only there at the game yesterday to literally plug his own show that was following.
Literally?
That was following the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
What was it? Reno 911 on Fox? Whatever the hell it was.
So what's he play? Rob Lowe, they're going to portray as a tough guy?
He gets brought into Waco, Texas to revamp the fire department. Because he had success maybe in like 9/11 or something in New York, and he's like the hot firefighter in the country, and they want him to remake the department in Texas, so he becomes Chuck Norris or something.
Of firefighting?
Yeah.
Hey, there's a show.
Yeah.
We'll do this
Seems like a stretch.
Andrew in Phoenixville, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, man.
Yeah, I'm definitely rooting for Andy Reid because he has done so much for the city of Philadelphia when he was here. Would it be safe to say that if Andy Reid wasn't our coach for all those years and all those wins that he brought us, that Philadelphia probably wouldn't have been the powerhouse that we were at that time?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they would have hired somebody who was smarter and better and we would be a dynasty more than the Patriots. You don't know how it plays out.
And that's the thing, is that so many people are not giving him enough credit. A lot of people have forgotten also that, what it was a year or two before he left, that his son passed away in a drug, incident. So he had to bury his son, and he had to go on. So a lot of people need to really realize that this guy's a human person. He is a great guy. He has been through so much, so many wins, so many losses. And yet he's still plugging away, and he's doing well in Kansas City, and I wish him all the best. I really do. But honestly, I think the 49ers have so many more weapons that Kansas City cannot cover.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling that, 49ers probably are going to win this game. It may be a closer game than a lot of people think, but I think the 49ers are really going to pull it out unless Andy Reid can work on the clock management. Mahomes can do well and get out of the pocket like he has been and be able to spread the field. So I really think it's going to be a close game, but I almost bet that this game could be decided by a really bad call on the field by the umpires and the referees. I really do, because it seems like in the last few weeks, a lot of calls have been decided by pass interferences or really bad calls. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, it can always come down to that. Thanks for the call. But I did have this thought yesterday, especially when the Chiefs really started to come back in that game. And we all knew that that game was over once Mahomes took off the 27-yard run, right?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, seven guys touching me on this play, and I'm going to make it into the end zone? Yeah, good try.
They did a really good job quieting Derrick Henry after his, it just looked like he was going to run through the entire team again.
Yeah. On a side note, because you just reminded me of Derrick Henry with the jump pass last week.
Yeah.
Or, 2 weeks ago. Dennis Kelly catching a touchdown pass.
He's got two career touchdown catches now, more than Dorial Green Beckham ever had.
Well, I think Dorial Green Beckham had two touchdown receptions with the Eagles.
Okay.
More than Arthega Whiteside.
Yes.
Jamie, I looked it up immediately. As soon as I saw Dennis Kelly, I was like, oh, wow, more touchdown receptions. I was thinking more touchdown receptions. I was like, oh, wow, no.
I guess they won that trade.
Well, they definitely won that trade because that guy's still playing for them. Yeah. This is incredible.
I'm actually happy the Chiefs won so that we don't have to see 2 weeks of King Henry nonsense, because I was already getting sick of it yesterday.
Mm.
Every graphic you saw on Derrick Henry, all King Henry in medieval garb and wardrobe. Like, stop. Just, you're beating it to death.
Was it Kettle after the game yesterday in the Niners game that was...
with the Jimmy G shirt?
Yeah, that was
shirtless.
See, people sometimes are anti-personality. I love personality.
Oh, God, yeah.
That just adds more conversation to the game. It adds a good laugh to the game. It's a topless Jimmy Garoppolo shirt that he was wearing to his post-game press conference.
And he had Jimmy sign it.
Oh, I didn't see that. Did you really?
Yeah. It said to George, Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's all right. Yeah. All right. Now I'm definitely
pretty good.
I'm definitely rooting for the 49ers. The hell with anything else. But no, I don't root against Andy Reid. I don't hate Andy Reid. I respect Andy Reid. And going back to my point from earlier, I think Andy Reid in this city, by the vast majority of Eagles fans, will always be respected. and not be loved. I don't think he will ever reach that lovable kind of gear. And there is something that goes with Andy Reid that is still mind-blowing to me. And it's a very unique thing. Because we have our perception with somebody here, and I will always champion the perception of the hometown crowd more so than I will the national media, because we are the people that are living with it every single day,
right, and I
think that's only fair. But the national perspective of Andy Reid is something that is, I don't know if there's a greater contrast of anyone ever, including Donovan McNabb.
Oh, he's beloved around the league.
My God, I thought Jim Nantz was going to just like wrap his arms and legs around him and just, you know, hug him to death yesterday.
I can't quit you. There is nobody where the national perception of this Philadelphia personality, Andy Reid, is more different than what it is locally. I don't think there's one person that's gone through Philadelphia where there's a greater difference.
It's gone the other way. It's gone where national hate and we love, but it rarely does it go that we hate and national loves.
Yeah. Well, or right? we just didn't see eye to eye with, yeah. whatever you
yeah,
want to
yeah,
call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an interesting thing. Andy Reid certainly brings that up. And talking to a lot of national people over the last few years about Andy Reid's career as he's become, you know, this big icon for the Chiefs now as he was here. And believe me, I've talked to enough Kansas City Chiefs fans while I've spent time in Kansas City that all say the same things about Andy Reid that we've said about Andy Reid. The only difference is he now has an opportunity to bring them what he can never bring us.
Right.
Now he's back on the same platform. He's back on the same stage. But there's one thing that's just really odd about the relationship between Andy Reid and Philadelphia and the relationship between Andy Reid and the national media. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We'll get into that in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. So, you know what this is like for me? And in your single days, did you ever know like a really hot girl? Like a really like smoking hot, beautiful girl? Oh my God, just lovely, right?
Sure.
Jamie?
Yeah, Wendy Peppercorn.
Okay, Wendy Peppercorn.
Yeah.
Has that girl ever talked to you about a guy that you know is a complete douche? And she's like, oh my God, he's the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, it's probably happened.
That's like Andy Reid in the national media. That's how I feel.
So Wendy Peppercorn is going after a douche?
Like I was at a party this one time, like when I was in college, and this is just the perfect example of it. This girl was talking about this guy that I knew was a complete douche, jerk, just an awful human being. Yeah. And she's like, oh, you mean oh my God, isn't Mike the sweetest? And I'm like, no, you're hot, and that's why he treats you like that.
Yeah.
He's a jerk to everyone else. But anyway, you do you, lady. So that's Andy Reid in the national media. Like, we know him better than you. Like,
yeah.
We know a lot better. But whenever I talk to anyone in the national media, either behind the camera or in front of it, oh, Andy Reid, what a great guy. And then I realize that if you've ever had a one-on-one with Andy Reid, a one-on-one experience with Andy Reid.
Charm your pants off.
He is one of the nicest, sweetest human beings, funny human beings you could ever come across. He's an awesome guy. Then you get him as a head coach at a press conference, and you're like, where's that like sweet, like where's that lovable guy? Like, he was not that type of guy at all. You wonder where that little charm would go when he'd take to the podium. And like, he wouldn't even be glowing about his players. He would just be protecting them. He would never say whose fault anything was, who blew an assignment or whatever it was. It was, oh, no, that's on me. I didn't put my player in a better position. All that stuff. And it came off as smug, as arrogant, and worst of all, in Philadelphia, it came off as disingenuous. And you can't be disingenuous in Philadelphia. Like they can put up with frauds otherwise. Oh, the hell with it, he's winning. But here, it just sticks with people.
I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Makes sense.
Exhibit A. Well, Exhibit B.
But I don't think he was disingenuous.
Who, Gabe?
Yeah.
No, I agree with you.
I think that's
how he came off. Yeah, yeah.
But he came off as disingenuous and never had a chance.
He's a very genuine non-Philadelphian.
Yeah.
Like, he is so not us.
Yeah, exactly.
That is, he's the opposite of us. But, like, that's just, he didn't hit home. He didn't close to home with us.
No.
Andy Reid was a guy that knew how to ingratiate himself on a one-on-one basis, an autograph signing basis, whatever it might have been, whenever he had individual experiences with fans, but did not have that at all whenever he was at the podium.
Yeah, well, back when I was at the previous job, I had to go down once to get a recording from him. So it was just me and him in the office, one-on-one. And he was, I think he was wishing the Phillies a good luck message.
Uh-huh.
So I had to go record him. And, like, he was cracking jokes. He was hilarious. He was the nicest dude ever. And I left the office and I went, Andy Reid's funny? Like, what the hell? I really like that guy.
So if you talk to, any of the national, like, Ginelli, who we've talked to a bunch of times for NBC, he talks about this guy that comes in the meeting and it's just like, hey, guys, what's going on? Game plan, everything, just here it is, and let's talk, and they're cracking jokes, and he's sweet, and he's charming, and we never get to see that in the public setting.
And if he had shown that, maybe things are different with how he's remembered.
Nah, I don't think so. I think most of the fans' frustration with him, are the time management, are the bad use of timeouts, whatever. I don't know. It's funny because I wanted to question you on it, Mark. Like, I felt the frustration you did at press conferences, but I often thought it was because of my profession. You felt it more as a fan also. You felt it too?
Yeah, because even if it's Andy Reid, if it's Brett Brown, if it's any coach really ever.
Right.
What I did learn through the Andy Reid era was that fans pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah.
They have the same question. Look, the media is there. We exist because the fans give a damn.
Exactly.
Like, that's why we're there. So we're there to ask questions that we think fans would have and would want to read about and would want to investigate themselves. Why did Andy throw it on, third and one? Why, something like that.
You got two Staley's, a meathead. Yeah, run him.
Run him between the tackles.
Like, quarterback sneak on fourth and one.
And I learned that people really do pay attention to that. And if you don't get those questions answered, or if you continuously sidestep those questions, people are going to be frustrated. And that stuff boiled over with Andy Reid time and time again. And not only did he just not address the question, but it came off whatever answer he would give as disingenuous. I got to watch the film. Okay, you'd watch the film. Next day, Monday, press conference, same thing. Well, I just got to do a better job of calling a better play there. Well, no, who missed the tackle?
Right.
What was the assignment?
Yeah.
No, I'm not in. Never, ever would it come up. The one time it did was, of all people, David Akers in the playoffs against the Packers who missed field goals. Well, we can all count. Wow, he even acknowledged a missed field goal. Imagine that. Like, I would have thought that he put the ball in a bad position, that it didn't go through the goalpost. Like, somehow he would make it his fault. Not in this case, I guess. But it was always interesting to me to hear the national people talk about what a great guy Andy Reid was and forthcoming and all that. But here in Philadelphia, you'd be like, no, we know him better than you. He's not that forthcoming.
Yeah, maybe they know him better than us.
Nope.
They see the personal side more than we did, I guess. You know what I mean?
But yeah, we were invested more. We had a lot more emotion invested in this team.
Yeah, because we had game investment. They did. They don't. They're just, national media doesn't have game investment the way Philadelphia fans do.
Yeah, but look, I give all the credit in the world to Andy Reid and everything that he did here in Philadelphia, and I appreciate all that, and I respect him for it, and I acknowledge that it happened. But I, like, to say that I'm necessarily rooting for him, it's not out of spite that I'm not. It's out of the fact that he's not our guy anymore. It's been 7 years.
Yeah.
7 years since he's been here.
Yeah, I just, like I said, if he wins it and he's up on the podium and accepting it, I just have a feeling I'll be sitting there with a smile on my face, kind of good for you because, like you said, we know you.
Mm-hmm.
And, I appreciate what he did here. And, for him to get that reward, I think is deserving. I mean, this guy's been there every year.
21 years he's been a coach in the NFL.
Yeah, and all but a handful. I mean, his team has had a chance to win it all. And yeah, you can blame it a lot for the reason they didn't win it all. But man, I said it, when we had the argument, Doug Peterson, Andy Reid with Jamie, if you're starting an organization, who do you take as your coach? And I said Andy Reid in a heartbeat. I just think he's that good of a coach. I think he's a great,
he's a great coach. Is he the greatest coach never to win one? Probably, right? Isn't he like fourth or fifth all time in wins now?
Yeah, I think he's approaching top five, maybe.
Yeah.
I thought he got to fourth for some reason. But
that seems high to me, but I don't know.
He's in that ballpark.
Seven, yeah. For some reason.
Yeah, maybe you're right. 6-7. He's probably the greatest coach to never win one. So as a lifelong NFLer, I mean, he's due. He deserves one.
21 seasons as a head coach in the NFL. Only 7 of those 21 seasons, he did not get double-digit wins.
That's wild.
It is.
And there's 9s in there. There's, yeah.
Yeah, there's still playoff berths in there.
Yeah.
But it's pretty wild. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Steve and Alney, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Steve?
Morning, guys. What's up?
Hey, man.
Are they going to use a clock during the Super Bowl?
only in the last 5 minutes.
All right, well, then it's not over yet. So anyway, my point, Andy Reid is a fantastic coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach.
Uh-huh.
And I think they said yesterday he was the winningest active coach to not win one yet. But and when he was gone from here, I was so glad that he was gone from here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think to say, like, to call him out for, like, press conference stuff, I think is weird because when he was doing it, I hated it. Like, I got to do a better job, that kind of
right.
thing, which Doug does a lot of. But who in the NFL does call out players during a press conference?
Which yeah, no, not many, but it's not necessarily calling out players as much as it is kind of letting the fans in a little bit during the press conference.
Which coach does that?
Gruden does that a lot, and I know he's the number one name. Harbaugh does a great job of doing it.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.